Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning. My name is Michael Poorman, and I get the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Mission Point. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. For those of you in the room, for you, those of you watching online, so glad you've tuned in. We do hope to see your smiling face in person soon. And today is kickoff Sunday. So after this service, man, we're going to have food trucks and football and all of that kind of stuff. And it's going to be a fun time. But today we're also kicking off a new sermon series that we're calling Stop Going to Church. Start engaging it. See what we did there? Yeah, right? Right, in this series, we want to have a conversation of how and why to engage in the church, and specifically at Mission Point. And we often say to our guests that we know it takes a lot to come to a church or a place where you don't know, with people you don't know, not exactly sure what to expect. But what should that relationship with the church and the engagement look like when we're not new anymore? I mean, what should that look like when things become more familiar with us and we make a conscious decision to say, yes, this is my church. I'm going to plant roots. This is where I'm going to be. What is that supposed to look like when we say this church is our home church? Well, that's what we're going to tackle over the next few weeks as we explore this topic. Now, you may already know this about me, but I am a church nerd. I am. I love the church. I love serving the church. I love being in the church. I love talking about the church. Just ask my wife and children who get tired of me talking about the church, right? I love reading about the church. Some might say that I'm a little bit obsessed with the church. I think I could probably be the face of one of those I Love the Church campaigns. I don't know if you've seen that over the last few years. Churches across the country are doing this either I Love My Church sermon series or campaign, all those kind of things. I love my church. They even make up t-shirts and everything, right? Like the one you see on the screen, right? I mean, it's a great way for people to talk about all the ways they love the church and why it exists and how they get to be a part of it. And I love the church and I love this church. But my question for you is, how about you? How about you? When it comes to the church, are you just a fan or are you all in? Are you a fan or are you all in? You know, a fan is someone who's interested in or something or admires something or someone, right? So where you fall on this, would you say, yeah, I'm a fan of the church. I mean, I think the church does some good things and I think it's great for them. But if I'm being honest, the church doesn't really fit within my time constraints or it doesn't really fit into my life. Yeah, I try to be helpful when I can, but life kind of gets in the way. Or would you say, no, I'm all in, baby, right? Would you say, yeah, I am completely committed to the church. I go out of my way to be involved and be a part of what God is doing in and through the church. Which one of these descriptions would describe you most? Fan or all in? I mean, I've mentioned this before, but I am a Colts fan. I love the NFL football season, and I'm so excited that it starts in about an hour and 45 minutes, okay? And I'm super excited about that, and I'm hoping that the Colts do well this year. They play the Texans today. It's going to be a tough game, and I hope that our quarterback, Anthony Richardson, does not get injured within the first few games of the season like he did last year, right? Amen to that, right? So I would identify myself as a fan of the Colts. But sometimes, if you know me, I can use hyperbolic language from time to time, right? My family would say amen to that, all right? And so I'm a fan, and sometimes I even say that I'm a huge fan, but really that's hyperbolic when I put myself up against this guy. Yeah, this guy, right? This is Blue Guy, okay? Or some call him the super fan, right? He's not just a fan of the Colts. He is all in, baby, right? I mean, he has season tickets and he does not miss a home game. And you will see him on TV every single Colts home game. And I watched a news article on, or news video on him this week, and his entire living room looks like that, full of memorabilia of the Colts. He is the essence of all in. He is sold out for the Colts. So would you say that you're a fan of the church? Or are you all in like Blue Guy? Right? Because studies show that on average, 20% of the church attendees regularly contribute and are involved in the ministry and leadership of the church, while the other 80% never experience the fullness of the church and all it has to offer and all it can be. 80% of people. Now, I had a pastor who once humbly asked the congregation not to treat the church like a conference center, right? To be intentional about not just coming and occasionally soaking up some content and then going back to their everyday life. And it came from a place of compassion because he wanted people to realize that the church can be a place and a people where you can experience life change and transformation. Just in the last couple of weeks, I went to the Global Leadership Summit here locally in town a few weeks ago. And it's a conference I go to every single year. I've gone 18 years in a row. It's one of my favorite leadership conferences to attend every year. And yeah, I knew a few people at the conference and I got to chit chat with them. But over those 2 days, I walked in, I consumed my leadership content, and I left every day without really engaging much with anyone. And that's okay because it was a leadership conference, but that's not what the church is supposed to be. The church is not intended for you to come in and get your dose of God for the week and then go on with the rest of your life. No, that's not what the church is intended to be. The church is intended to be a gathering of people who grasp how much God loves them, so much so that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. And then we worship for him for all that he has done for us, and we spur one another on to be more and more like Jesus every single day. You see, the writer of Hebrews also wrote about this same idea in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, the reality is in this day, persecution and hardship probably and likely caused and led some people to stop meeting together. But regular connection with other Christ followers is an essential component to our growth and our perseverance. And if we, like the writer of Hebrews, live with an expectation that Jesus' resurrection and his return is going to be soon, right, then we'll grasp the importance of spurring one another on in our walk of faith. But if we give up meeting together, man, I don't even know how we'll expect to give support and encouragement to one another if we give up meeting together. So we know we're not supposed to give up meeting together, but why? Why is that important? Well, we believe, and I believe to my core, that the church is valuable. The church is valuable. And it's valuable because it is the bride of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. Isaiah 54 says this, "For your maker is your husband, and the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." In Ephesians 5, we read this, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And this is a profound mystery. And then look, he says, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Christ and the church. We cannot be casual about what Jesus is passionate about. We should serve the church like a bride getting ready on her wedding day to meet her groom. Just casually being a fan of the church does not reflect the intentionality that a bride gets ready on her wedding day, does it? I mean, I remember my wedding day 21 years ago, but I had the easy job. I got to go hang out with my college friends, enjoy joking around and all that. And about 90 minutes before the ceremony, I put my tux on. And I didn't even have to do my hair. My wife, on the other hand, well, she was up early, right? She was getting her hair done and getting her nails done, right? She was making sure she had enough to eat. They went out and got some Nelson's chicken to make sure that she could have enough to eat, right? She went to the church early to make sure that she was ready to walk down that aisle to meet her groom. And that's just what happened on that day. As you know, it takes a lot of preparation to get ready for a wedding day. You see, my wife was all in, which was a good thing, by the way, right? And that's how we, the church, the bride of Christ, are supposed to value and treat this gathering and this collection of people like a bride getting ready on her wedding day. Revelation 19 says this, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory." And check this out. "For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." You see, the bride of Christ is valuable. This church is valuable and it is worth our intentionality with it. The church is also Jesus's primary vehicle for his work in the world, right? You cannot truly live Jesus's mission while disengaging from the vehicle by which he uses and does his mission, right? The church is plan A and there is no plan B. We see this in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. He says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" You see, this is because the church is not a building. It's not a building. It's a people. It's a movement. That's why our mission statement here at Mission Point is that we want to and desire to show and share the love of Jesus where we live, learn, work, and play, in essence, everywhere we go, because it's about movement. It's about the mission. It's about people. And see, understanding the definition of the word church, I mean, it's important. It's an important component in engaging in the church, because the Greek word for church in the Bible is ekklesia, ekklesia. And it's defined as a called out assembly or congregation, a called out assembly or congregation. See, the Greek ekklesia is the basis for our English words ecclesiastical, or pertaining to the church, or ecclesiology, which is the study of the doctrine concerning the church. Ekklesia is commonly translated as church in the New Testament. We see a couple of examples of this in Acts 11. It says, "Barnabas and Saul met with the church, the ekklesia, and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that he persecuted the ekklesia. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the ekklesia of God." And then in Matthew 16, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my ekklesia, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." You see, this called out assembly, this group of people on movement, on mission, they're a congregation of believers who are called out into the world, into the wonderful light, which is what we read in 1 Peter 2, so that and in order to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere they go. And unfortunately, though, we lose a bit of this action-oriented language when we translate ekklesia into English, because the English word for church derives not for the Greek word of a called out assembly, but from a German word instead. And now I don't speak German, so if you do, I'm sorry, I'm gonna probably butcher this word. But the German word for church is Kirche, which means a church building. The word puts more focus on the building rather than the people and the movement that Jesus established. And it seems clear to me that Jesus was talking about when he was talking about being building his church and leading a growing gathering of people, an assembly of disciples to live on mission. And he was saying, take this message to the ends of the earth. In essence, where you live, learn, work, and play. And although we do meet in this facility each week, the church, as I've said, is not a building. It's a people. It's a movement. And it's Jesus's main vehicle for his mission on this earth. And you and I, we get to play a part in it. You see, I had a pastor who once said this, and he said it almost every week. When we say amen and we walk out of this building, guess what? The church leaves the building. The church leaves the building because you and I are the church, not this building. And that's important for us to figure out and to think through. And if that's true, then we should be asking ourselves some really important questions, both individually and collectively as a church, as an ecclesia. Here's a couple of questions for us to think through. Are we moving or are we simply meeting? Are we moving or are we simply just meeting here on Sundays? Are we organized around a mission or are we organized around this meeting? Right, that's part of why we wanted to do this sermon series, to invite every single one of us to consider our next step in being an active part in Jesus's church, in Jesus's ecclesia. Because no part of the body is passive and you shouldn't be either, right? We need you with all of your gifts and all of your passions to be all in like Blue Guy with the movement and the mission of God. 1 Corinthians 12 says it this way, just as one body has, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You see, we are the church, and God uses every part and every person to build his kingdom. Every single one of you is made in the image of God, and he has a purpose for you. I tell my kids all the time, I say, you were made on purpose for a purpose. You were made on purpose for a purpose. My favorite verse in all of the Bible is Ephesians 2:10, which says, you are a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. You were made on purpose for a purpose, and God wants to use you, his vehicle, the church, the ecclesia, the movement of God to change and transform the world through his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Come on.
And so you have a place to be all in and have a purpose. And in addition to that, you belong here. You belong here at this church and the church. So can I say, don't just attend, belong. Don't just attend, belong. But what does it mean to belong to a church? Well, it's interesting. As I often do, looked up on dictionary.com. And do you know that there are three definitions of belong? I didn't until I researched it. But we're going to talk about those three definitions. The first one is to be in the relation of a member, adherent, inhabitant, etc., usually followed by the word to. I love this first definition because it reminds us that we are family. Do you know that we're all related? We are. We're family. 1 John 3 says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God and what we will be has not yet been made known. And since we're children of God, that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We belong to something bigger than ourselves, our nuclear family, and even our bloodlines families. We are part of a global family of believers who follow Jesus and try to be like him more and more, a little bit more each day. It makes me think of that old song, and yes, I'm going to date myself here, right? That old song of We Are Family, right? You know the lyrics, right? We are family. I got all my sisters with me, right? It makes me think of that song, right? And my son said that apparently they say brothers in that song too somewhere, right? But we're brothers and sisters. We're family, right? And because of Jesus, we belong to this worldwide movement of Jesus followers who are adopted into his family, right? We read about this in Romans 8. It says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so you will live in fear again. No, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And check this out. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And this is an incredible thought, right? Not only are we adopted into sonship and we are his children and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, but we become heirs. Becoming an heir means that you get all the wealth, all the riches, and all the benefits of the Father. I mean, how great is that, right? We become heirs to God and with Christ. Roman adoption, which could have happened at any age, canceled all previous debts and all relationships, defining the new child as holy in terms of the new relationship with the Father whose heir he became. So this means not only do we belong to a big family, we belong to a wealthy family, right? Jesus has the keys to the greatest kingdom ever, amen? Right? It's the kingdom above all kingdoms. And we are his heir. And guess what? Because we are his heir, guess what he does? He hands us the keys to the kingdom. He hands us the keys to the kingdom. Truly amazing. When we get to know Jesus and we become a part of this body of believers, then we belong to the greatest, most powerful, most influential kingdom that has ever existed or will ever exist. That's belonging, y'all. That's belonging. The second definition of belong is to have proper qualifications, especially social qualifications, to become to be a member of a group. So belonging usually means you have some status or some qualifications to get in. Like my wife and I, we just joined the YMCA, right? So they gave us a little scan card that I can use when I go in, and I scan when I'm trying to go to the gym and get swole, okay? Now, because I'm there, I have the proper qualifications and, to be honest, the correct payment plan to get into the gym and use it, right? Those are my qualifications, right? But do you know the only qualification for your membership and your belonging here at Mission Point? And in any church in general, the only qualification is that there are no perfect people allowed. None. No perfect people allowed. That's right. You have to be messed up and broken to belong here. Congratulations. And the good news is that means that every single one of us belong here because every single one of us is broken and in need of a Savior. Right, because when sin entered the world with Adam and Eve at the beginning of creation, that means brokenness entered the world. And only Jesus would be able to live a perfect life in this world. Romans 3 says this, there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But, check this out, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Because you are human and broken and in need of a Savior, just like me, you belong here. And can I tell you, I hope that that is refreshing to you. I hope that lifts a weight off of your shoulders to know that you don't have to look perfect to be here. To know that you don't have to put on a mask when you come here. You can be fully yourself in all of your messiness, carrying all of your baggage, carrying all of your trauma, and know that you are welcome here just as you are. Ephesians 2 says, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, you don't have to shine yourself up to get to Jesus, and you don't have to shine yourself up to be here at Mission Point. Life is messy and it's crazy, and I am sure if I sat down across the table from you for coffee and I heard your story, it would make sense of why you are the way you are and why you think the way you think and why you act the way you act. Right? And this is the absolute beautiful thing about this gathering, this ecclesia of people, is that you don't have to shine yourself up to come to Jesus, and you don't have to do it for this church. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Here's the deal. Your weaknesses is what gets you in. Your weaknesses is what gets you in. And that seems crazy because it's opposite and backwards from what we hear in the world, but that's the way the kingdom of God works. And here's the deal. I'm sure that in a room this size, and for those watching online, that there are some of you who may have left the church or Jesus or given up on either of them because people expected you to be perfect or they judged you for not being perfect or they treated you poorly for being broken. And can I tell you, I understand why you might have wanted to leave the church because of that. And I'm sorry that that was your experience. But can I ask, if that's been your story, can I ask you to not give up on the church because other people did some things poorly? Can I ask you to not disengage from the church because she's imperfect? Because Jesus died for the church knowing it was imperfect. The reality is we cannot love Jesus' work and be at odds with his bride, the church. To love Jesus is to love what Jesus loved, and Jesus loved the church to death, literal death. The phrase church hurt has become more common in the last few years, right? Church hurt is a term that describes the pain and the sadness or emotional scarring that can occur when someone is either let down, wounded, or has their trust broken by someone within the church. And while church hurt can be inflicted intentionally or unintentionally by people in the church or leaders in the church, some say coming out of this kind of time that the answer to church hurt is really the gospel, right? Church hurt is probably going to happen because it's broken people, a broken organization being led by broken people, being ministering to broken people. I don't think anyone gets into it for that, but the reality is we're all broken and need a Savior. And so we need to remind ourselves about the gospel and that Jesus is the leader who will never fail, who will never fail. The reality is that people will disappoint us. They will let us down and they will hurt us. And I pray that that's never true of this church, but it's possible. But belonging embraces the fact that Jesus never will. He never will. And then the last definition of belonging is to be proper or due, be properly or appropriately placed or situated. An example of this would be, this belongs on the shelf, right? And many of you in the room who are married or you have roommates, you understand this definition because you've had the dishwasher conversation. And you, what's the dishwasher conversation? Well, it's the, this happens in my house, I load the dishwasher. And then my wife comes and says, that's not the way you load the dishwasher. And moves all the things and then runs the dishwasher, right? You know what this is like. I think there are really only two types of people in the world. Dishwasher organizers and then the rest of us, okay? Right? This definition of belonging, right, means that everything has its place, right? You remember that old adage, right? There's a place for everything and everything has its place, right? That old saying, right? Little crowd participation here, okay? Raise your hand if you are that way. If you're saying everything has its place and there's a place for everything, raise your hand for that, right? Okay, now raise your hand if you are a little bit more of a free spirit when it comes to that. We'll pray for you. No, right? The reality is right, we have way different ways of approaching some of those things, but here's the deal. Within the church, you have a place. And everything has its place, right? You have a place and we want you to help you find that place. In essence, we want to help you get situated with people who can walk this journey with you. I mean, we want to help you find your peeps, right? We want you to help you find your tribe, right? So that you can go out and show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. I like to call these people refrigerator friends. You know what I'm talking about. They can walk into your house, open the refrigerator, get something out of the refrigerator without asking you, and you can do that at their house, right? Refrigerator friends, right? That is the idea of that is the evidence that there's a deep connection and friendship there, and there's no or very few barriers to your connection. Some people call these dirty house friends, right? You know, you don't have to clean up the toys or the laundry when they come over. No, they'll just see the pile of laundry on the couch and they pick it up and they move it off to the floor while they sit and they have a conversation with you, right? You don't have to clean up when they come over. The reality is being here on Sundays is awesome and it's critical and it's intentional and we can worship God together, but we need deeper connection. Those of us, as human beings, we need deeper connection than just here in this morning, than what we experience on Sunday mornings. And these are the types of relationships that were reflected in the book of Acts when the first church, right? If you look at Acts chapter 2, it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. You see, did you catch the four things they did? Right? Studying, fellowship, eating, and prayer. First, the writer Luke says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This meant that they sat together and they talked about Jesus and they talked about the scriptures. They took it seriously. This was something that they were loyal to. This became the central topic of their conversation. Yeah, they could have talked about the weather or how hard it was to push the plow the other day and the cow didn't do this or whatever, right? They could have talked about what was going on in the community, but no. Instead, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching for growth and development and to know Jesus more. And there was also fellowship. Now, in my last church, there was a pastor and he just did not like this term. He just said it felt like a too churchy of a word because we don't really hear the word fellowship outside of Christian circles or the church, right? People, our neighbors that are not Christians don't usually use the word fellowship generally, right? But this means, all this really means is spending time with people, right? Good company along with good conversation that develops great companionship, right? And these folks devoted themselves to it. But here's the deal. I'm sure we've all realized and read articles, right? That we are the most connected generation ever, right? With technology and social media. But did you know that we're also the most lonely that it has ever been in the history of the human race? The American Psychiatric Association found that early in 2024, one in three people felt lonely every week. One in three. I mean, this is serious. right? But these folks in Acts chapter 2, man, they devoted themselves to fellowship, and it was something that they did daily. They did it daily, it said in the scripture. And they did it around a dinner table, right? They broke bread and they ate together, right? Table fellowship in this time denoted intimacy and connection and relationship, and discussions about scripture or even lectures around the table became a common practice. And here's the deal. They did not rush through the meal like we often do. Oh no, they lingered and they spent intentional time together with people. And verse 46 says that they did it with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, which means they also spent time praying together with others for one another and for situations, which brings not only a connection to the Holy Spirit, but to one another as well. This was kind of like the glue that strengthened their bond. I mean, as I describe that community, it sounds pretty amazing, right? I mean, I want that kind of belonging in my life. Don't you? Well, one way we do that here at Mission Point is through MP groups. It's where we get out of these rows and we get into circles with a smaller group of people, right? This is a great place for us to meet and connect and those kind of things, but we need deeper connections so that we can have study and fellowship and eating and prayer together. And we like to say that we have a group for every age, stage, and area of interest, right? I mean, these groups are groups of people made up of people who gather for community and connection and all of those things. And they're committed to doing life together and growing in Jesus and being on mission. And they meet all throughout the community, all throughout the week on different days, right? We have, like I said, over 42 groups, right? We have groups that meet for Bible study. We have groups that meet and discuss the sermon questions every week. And yes, we write sermon questions for you to discuss every single week. I lead a crazy group of people who every Saturday morning meet at the Winona Lake Park, and we run lots and lots of miles together. Yes, yesterday we ran 10 miles. We're running a marathon together in November, right? So we're one of those crazy people, right? We have a disc golf group, a woodworking group, and a hiking group. We have different groups for different age groups. We have young married couples groups. We have an empty nester group, right? Do we have any Grace College students in the house tonight, today? All right, yeah, Grace College. We and other college students, right? We have lots of college students that come to this church, and it's awesome, and we love that. We have a group for you. It's called The Dock, and The Dock actually has their first meeting next Sunday night, the 15th, so please mark your calendars because you're not going to want to miss it. But here's the deal. We have a group for everyone, and here's the deal. If we don't, we would love to help you start a new one. Because it's our desire for every person who calls Mission Point home to have an even deeper place to belong. We want to help you be appropriately placed and situated, as that last definition of belonging said, so that you have people who will spur you on towards love and good deeds, that they will lift you up in the hard times, that you'll be able to have people that will ride the highest highs and the lowest lows with you along your journey. Because here's the deal, we as human beings are wired for that type of connection. Belonging is one of the most basic human needs. And if I haven't said it yet, which I think I did, I'll say it again. You belong here. You are welcome here. And man, we want the best for you here. And that's why we actually did this kickoff Sunday. This is a big reason why we wanted to do that, because we wanted you to help be able to find a place to belong. So that's why we got food trucks and food and all of these kind of things, so that you can, like the Acts 2 church, linger today. We have a sign up for MP groups out in the lobby, and Jeff and his team would love to be able to connect with you to help you find a group. I think on your way out, you're going to actually get a QR code to be able to do that. It is our desire for every single person to be a part of an MP group. But that's the reason why we did this kickoff Sunday, and why we're actually ending this service a little bit differently and a little bit early. You'll notice it's 11:50. We did it on purpose so that we could go out and we can find our place to belong and connect with one another today. And so can I ask you a favor? Don't leave today. Stay here. Find your place, find your people, find a connection, sign up for an MP group. It's gonna be awesome. And here's the deal. We thought about this and we wanted to give you as much really good food as possible. So here's the deal. We have five different food trucks, okay? We have tacos, burgers, pizza, donuts and ice cream, and I don't remember the fifth one right now. Barbecue, okay? From Hogs Are Wild, right? We have five different food trucks. We've got, if you're a Colts fan or if you're a Bears fan as well, okay? If you're a Colts or Bears fan, in the Black Box Theater, which is just here to my left, you'll go around and you'll see some signage there. We'll have the game on at 1 o'clock. Both games actually will be on in there so you can get your food and go. We have lots of seating outside. We have 9 square and a game tent for kids and all that kind of stuff. We've done this so that you have no excuse to leave, okay? You have no excuse to leave. We want you to stick around, find a place to stay, connect with people and those kind of things, okay? So here's what I'm gonna do. Like I said, there's not going to be a song like we normally end. We're going to end. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and then we're going to send you out to actually just go and be together. And again, pray, eat, break bread together, connect, all of those types of things. So at this time, I'm going to ask the elders, pastors, the prayer team, if you want to make your way forward. Man, if there's something that you want to pray about, man, we would love to pray with you today. So feel free to stay and do that and then go get some burgers or whatever. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go out, and we're just going to be a church family together, okay? So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. And we thank you for this church, this ecclesia, this gathering of people that, God, that we have a desire to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere we go. And God, that is what fuels us. But God, we wanna be all in. And God, if as we start to be all in, it maybe starts with belonging. And so I pray that God today, that this would start us on this trajectory to be like Blue Guy and to be all in, because we find our people, we find our tribe, we find our connections. And God, this is true from the very first moments of our life where we make these attachments to our moms and our dads. It's true as we get older in life, we also need these attachments to one another. And so God, I pray that you would bless this food that we're about to eat. I pray that you would bless the connections that are about to happen. I pray that the Colts would win. God, I pray for all of those things. But God, that we would have a great time together today and that we would just begin to figure out what your place is for us here within this body of believers. And I pray for all of these things in Jesus' great and matchless name. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.